four, five, six, seven, eight.
Which one? This one? I could work with that. Can? Which one? Okay, then I'm good to go. Why don't you turn to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament? 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter. Again, happy Father's Day to all you men in the house and everywhere. 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter. And I want to preach about molasses. Molasses. Better known as Manasses. But I'm just going to call him Molasses. Calling him Molasses because it took him 55 years of God's grace to learn who was God. 55 years. That's kind of slow, isn't it? For all you slow people, that's kind of slow. 55 years for him to learn about God's grace. Manasses was a king in Israel. He was one of the, in Israel, but in Judah. He was a king of Judah. He wasn't a good king. He was a bad king. He was the son of Hezekiah, a good king who had restored worship, who had restored the temple, and also had restored worship to the temple and was following after God. And Israel was prosperous at that point. And then his son took over at the age of 21 or 22 and reigned terror on Judah for 55 years. 55 years is a long time, even in dog years. It's a long time. 55 years for you to get it right. 55 years is a long time for you to be around somebody or be influenced by somebody who's going the opposite way of God. 55 years for God to give you some kind of relief. How many of you all would want to be in that picture for 55 years? 55. I'm saying 55 because it was 55 years. I know, you can only take a 30-year mortgage. I mean, that's 55 years. That's slow to learn. So I want to talk about molasses just a little bit. And molasses in your life. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that God is full of mercy. He's full of grace. And that he's in charge. Anybody glad about that? I don't know about you, but I've been in this community almost 35 years now, and there's some very smart people who learn fast. And I'm just not one of them. So I'm glad that God would take the time that he needs to take with me and for me to teach me and to help me learn to be the best Floyd that I can be. Are you glad about that? I'm that kid who knew that there was going to be a test but never studied for the test. Like I could talk the teacher out of the test. Teacher would say, test, and I said, today? Yeah. You're not going to stay in third grade all your life. There's going to be a test. You need to go to fourth. I got other things to do. I got other things to teach. But can you imagine 55 years of that? I said 55. I read it in the Bible. I didn't even highlight it with my black highlighter because I believe God was speaking to us about the 55. This just didn't come to me, but prior to me going to the prison, for the last Kairos, they sent out devotions. They sent out a whole lot of email. They sent out a daily devotion for, not actually it's not a daily devotion, it's a morning devotion, It's the evening devotion. I didn't open up any of those devotions. But a brother sent out this devotion about Manassas, and it kind of piqued my interest. So we read about Manassas, and I really didn't like it because it sets us up to be able to wait on God to do whatever God needs to do in our life for us to see him and to serve him. So when I started reading the 33rd chapter of 2 Chronicles, I had to go back to see what it's there for. You know the therefore? So you read prior to that and you see that Israel or Judah had a good king, Hezekiah. He did all these wonderful things. And Manasseh was his son. So I'm kind of asking myself, what kind of influence did Hezekiah have on Manasseh that as soon as Manasseh became the king, he said, we're doing it the other way. We're going to desecrate the temple. We're going to build some idols and some poles, and we're just going to have a good old time. We're actually going to kill some of our kids. We're going to make them walk through the fire and stuff to please these other gods and stuff like this. I said, well, that's good for a day. But I'm going to say it again. 55 years of this stuff. When would Manasseh learn? When would Judah learn? Well, God, why 55 years? What are you trying to tell me about your mercy, about your grace, and about your justice? Because I want a little bit of justice here, God. Can't you just kill Manasseh? I mean, we've had other short-term kings and stuff. Can't you just do us a favor and we start all over again? Kind of like that. Everybody knows that he's doing wrong and we're going the other way and you're not blessing us and all this stuff is happening. We're killing kids. We're doing this. We're doing this. Can't you do something? But for 55 years, this goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. Then something happens to Manasseh. Another country overtakes Israel. And you know when other countries overtake, they usually kill the king. But they didn't kill the king. They put a big old ring through his nose and paraded him through the city. And I'm saying, God, you know, on the 56th year, we really don't need Manasseh anymore. So can we just, like, kill him and start all over again? He says, no, I'm full of mercy. I'm full of grace. Guess what Manasseh's going to do? And this is really messing me up. He's going to repent, comma, and be restored as king. And then he's going to follow God and correct a whole lot of things that he did for 55 years. I'm saying, God, what are you trying to teach me in this? Well, he says, well, you're going to prison and stuff, and there's going to be some people like Manasseh, you know, who are never going to get out and who have done things that if they told you they did, you probably would run or either get in a corner, get behind somebody who's bigger than you. But I'm still full of mercy. I'm still full of grace, and I have all this in hand. And just like Manasseh, there's going to be some Manassehs in your life, especially in church life, that you're going to see doing stuff that you would say, well, God, why don't you just kill them? You know, they're not going to do right. Here's my card. I'm checking them off. Why don't you just take them away from me? Because, God, this is just between me and you, God. You can't handle them. You don't have enough mercy and enough grace for this particular person or this particular situation. And God has said, look in my word in 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter. And look what I did with molasses. Certainly I can still do that, even with you, because you were kind of slow yourself. So I'm wondering on this particular Father's Day, as we honor fathers or remember fathers, I know that everybody doesn't have the same kind of experience with fatherhood because there's a difference with parentage and hood. Fatherhood and parentage. You know, if you got the equipment, you can be a parent. But who can raise a child? Who can influence a child's life? For me, I had many men to influence me who were not necessarily fathers. And on this day, I remember them and I honor them. Also, I encourage you that if you're male in this house, that people are watching you and listening to you in some kind of way, some kind of, it's not magic, but it's kind of like they're reading and assembling what they think manhood is and fatherhood is. And it's particularly bothering some, is that a word? It just bothers me that we are in a time where those two pronouns, male and female, have just sprung up into categories. And sometimes you don't know what to call what you're seeing in front of your face. Y'all feel me? And sometimes we call it politically correct, but I'm kind of politically dumb. So it's just like the Bible says in Genesis, male or. Y'all sure? Okay, because you didn't answer like you were sure. You like confused with whatever the new pronoun might be, is still. And say it like you really mean it. Because you're going to have to answer that question. You're going to have to talk to some people who might be molasses. Hello? Y'all still here? Yeah, are you with me? And that's why I'm talking about molasses, because there has been this week a line drawn in the sand for Christianity in America. And it happened in South Carolina. And we need to know how to deal with that internally and respond to that externally. I'm fortunate that I have lived here for 35 years, so this is my hood, and you my people. Did I say that out loud? You're my family. And my family looks a little bit like heaven, from every tribe, from every language, from every tongue, and every kindred. So I'm kind of ahead of the game. But when something like this happens, it reflects on the church, period, the church universal. So it happens to you, whether you feel it or not. And I'm to the point in my life and to the point in age where when you see something like this or hear something like this, you always know that there's another story. So here on Father's Day, I wonder what that young man heard from the men, the males in his community and his life that would make him susceptible to Satan and evil to commit that kind of atrocity in the house of God. Wow. And when we get the whole story, we're going to find out what Sunday school he went to, what church he grew up in. I'm telling you, it's going to be fresh hell for the church. But the Bible says this, that judgment begins where? Wow. Judgment begins in the house of God. And why does judgment begin in the house of God? Because we say some things and do something different. The most integrated hour in our country is our hours of worship. Still, We're like molasses. Now, that doesn't mean that you go out and find somebody of color and drag them to church or let them drag you to church, because that's holding somebody hostage. That's kidnapping. But it does require us to love one another and have relationships with one another and to grow in the knowledge of Christ that will define us as Christ's followers. That defines us. Not our opinion on politics, not our opinion on religion, not our opinion on sex, not our opinion on race. That does not define us. The Word of God defines us. Now, you might think, or is it just me? How could God let something like that happen in his house? Where is the thunder? Where is the lightning? Where is the opening up of the earth and the 10,000 angels? Where is all that? He could have did that. But you know, sometimes he just lets us be us so we can see ourselves in the mirror and to see how much that we need him and how much we need to be like him. What story does our life tell? What kid is watching us and listening to us to see how we really feel about who God is and what our relationship is? So in the 33rd chapter of 2 Chronicles, let's meet Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years, he was 12 years old, I thought he was 20-something, 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. He raised up altars for Baal and made wooden images, and he worshiped all the hosts of the heavens and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be forever." And he built altars for all the hosts of heavens in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also, he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying and used witchcraft and sorcery and consulted mediums and spiritualists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He set up a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers. Only if they are careful to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinance by the hand of Moses." So Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not listen. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. Now when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him, and he received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. After this, he built a wall around the city of David on the west side of the Gibeon in the valley as far as the entrance of the fish gate, and it enclosed Ophrah, and he raised it to a very great height. I'm going to stop there. I don't know about you, but I get kind of angry when God takes the worst person and turns them around. You say, well, preacher, heaven rejoices. You angry. Who's stupid? Heaven rejoices and you're angry. Y'all don't mind me being real with you, do you? Because this is church talk. So God has the nerve to listen to the dude who had messed up Israel and provoked them to do all these crazy things in God's house. God honors his house. And his house was where he told everybody he lived. And he's going to bring all his stuff in his house and he's just going to have a party for 55 years. I need to say that to you. That's a long time. That's a long time to say, God, when are you going to move? When are you going to do this? When are you going to have your way? When are you going to show these people that you are God? This is an evil king. Don't you know evil? Evil. Four-letter word. E-V-I-L. God, Google it if you need to. He's just bad. And then he gets beat up by the king of Assyria, and all of a sudden he finds religion. He gets saved. He turns this thing around. But there's still this thing in my memory that he is the worst king. So you could get saved all you want to, but take your salvation somewhere else. Because I remember who you were and what you did. But God says, no, I'm going to restore him to his kingdom. His kingdom? God, you have such a short memory. Because he was bad for how long? You all need to say that. 55 years. That is a long time to be bad and for God to say, come on, everything's okay. Because if I knew that your limit was 55 years, I would have been bad for at least 45 and then turned my life around for a good 10 to serve you. I don't know. So in South Carolina this week, there was a young man who went to an African-American church, and he went to a prayer meeting. And he sat there for the whole prayer meeting. He asked questions. He received fellowship. He got prayed for. And then he got up and he killed 9 people. God, if he calls on your name, if he heard those words and they penetrated his heart because the Holy Spirit was there working on him, will you save him? Will he be a testimony wherever he is, not only to the evil that he wrought and the line that he put in the sand for the church today, but will he be a testimony to your grace and your mercy and your long suffering? Because that was not by coincidence that he sat there under your word. And I know that your word goes out and it doesn't come back. Hello? Anybody read the Bible? Wow. 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 And then you know, Lord, out of all the people that could have been shot dead after committing such an atrocity, that he's alive and he's living. Somewhere in the Bible says what the devil meant for, God meant for. I think that was Job saying that, or Job for you. What the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. Do you think that might have been the case in Manasseh's life? That God would let him do what he did for 55 years. That he would put him in a place, the place. And I like to call that place humility. And men, if there is any lesson that we could teach young men and women around us, it is the lesson of humility. That we lay ourselves low, that we consider others higher than we consider ourselves. That's what they should see and what they should hear in our life. That points them to Jesus. If they had to say one word about your life, it should be that he was humble. Even if he had an opinion, he was humble. Even if he was stuck on stupid, he was humble. I could see humility in him. So when Manasseh or Molasses got to that point, where he said, you know what? I remember some things that my father did, and he said, he's Hezekiah. And I know that he used to call on God, and we used to make sacrifices, and he would read the word of God. Since I'm here, with the ring in my nose, and the Assyrians are thinking about killing me, God, I think I'll ask you to forgive me. Right away, the God of mercy, the God of grace, forgives him. That sucks. That sucks. God, one time, can you just, you know, just come down with vengeance and say, this is vengeance day. I'm going to have vengeance on all the evil people, blah, 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 blah. And if you did this, hold up, God. I think you mentioned my sin. And this is, and there goes another one. And this, and this. I'm going to kill you on this day. And then we're going to start from the beginning. That'd be fair, wouldn't it? I don't think so. That's why he's the God of mercy and the God of grace. Even in situations like this. And those situations should touch us as brothers and sisters in Christ, because there's been a line drawn in the sand. It's taken a whole lot of years in this country, but Christians are going to have to be Christians. And you're going to be surprised at the way he was raised or the influences in his life and stuff. And they're going to be, guarantee you, South Carolina, part of the Bible Belt, there's going to be some Christianity in there. And are we going to put on our glasses and kind of hide it? Maybe it was the Catholic Church. He went to the Baptist Church or Church of Christ, just not my church. God, we're going to spin the wheel, and when they say it, make sure it's not Calvary Chapel. Because if it did, we're going to have to change our name again. Oh, God, why couldn't he be Baptist? It's not about that. It's about what we teach and what we believe. And judgment begins in the house of God. It really does. The scripture is true. The scripture is true. The scripture is true. So, today, what's going to be your story? What are you going to teach people around you, man? How are you going to help them be the image of Christ? So, I got a couple of names that just came to me. I didn't grow up in a Leave It to Beaver house with June cooking the meatloaf and calling us in to wash our hands and things. I grew up in a two-parent single family. So you won't know these people, but I'm going to tell you some of the things that I remember about them. These are men. Eugene D. Gray, be good and be patient. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath him is the everlasting arms. Charles McCoy, my godfather, he was the first man to fire me for my janitor's job. He was my godfather, and he had to fire me because I took too long to mop and sweep the hallways in our apartment building, and I was mumbling. But he's still my godfather. Robert Jenkins, no one knows you are listening until you open up your mouth. He taught me that because I was the child who thought I was a grown-up. And I grew up in the age where you were seen and not. Oh, okay. All right. So anytime that you open up your mouth in an adult conversation, y'all know what that is? Backhand. You don't even see it coming. Wake up at 2 o'clock. They hit you at 12 and you wake up at 2, just like that, backhand. If you don't open your mouth, they don't even know you're listening. Ralph Goodpasture, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. And also, be the best me that I can be. Harold D. Porter, he said, find your place, know your place, and stay in your place. And finally, James Tracy, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your word that tells us, commands us to love one another. And God, if we're to bear the title of Christ's followers, of Christians today, you call us to love one another. I pray over every man's life in this place that they would become teachers of humility. God, that they would humble themselves before you so that they won't have to be humble. I pray that it won't take 55 years of doing evil for us to repent. I pray for the church today that we do repent, God, of all those things that separate us from each other as human beings and as mankind. God, that you would cause them to melt away as they are pushed in our face as we see ourselves in the mirror. I pray for that young man who committed this atrocity. I pray for his family. I pray for that church who has to forgive. I pray for those who mourn over the passing of their loved ones. And I pray for what you're going to do with this atrocity, that you will bring good out of evil. I pray that you show yourself mighty and strong in our lives, although we are half a country away, God, that you would give us divine opportunities to be more like Christ today, and those things that would separate us from you and other people be torn down by the love that you've shown to us in your word, to Manasseh and to us personally. We thank you for what Jesus did on the cross for us, and we remember it today as we leave this place to serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now go in his peace and in his grace.